Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti evam dasyam chastash. I'll recite the, then I'll recite the last ones together. Cheru gopyo vishetasaha Yam gopin annayaktishmo Vihayanya striyovane Sachameni tadatmanam Varishtam savayoshitam Itva gopi kama jnana mam aso bhajate priyaha. As the gopis wandered about, their minds completely bewildered, they pointed out various signs of Krishna's pastimes. Particular gopi whom Krishna had led into a secluded forest when he had abandoned all the other young girls began to think herself the best of women. My beloved has rejected all other gopis, she thought, even though they are driven by Cupid himself. He has chosen to reciprocate with me alone. But by divine grace, he has given unto Swami Sukha. Previously, all the gopis had become proud of their association with Krishna, and then suddenly lost his association. Only Radharani remained with him. Now she has also become proud of that association and will suffer a similar fate. The Lord arranges all this to reveal the gopis' unparalleled devotion for him, a devotion that was intensely fully manifest in moments of separation. Gatva vanodesham ritta keshavam abravit aparyeham chalitam nan nayanam yasate manaha. As the two lovers passed through one part of the Vrindavan forest, the special gopi began feeling proud of herself. She told Lord Krishna, I cannot walk any further. Please carry me wherever you want to go. Evam ukta priyam aha.
Evam ukta priyam aha.
Evam ukta priyam aha.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Tatashcham tartade Krishna.
Tashchandardade Krishna.
Tashchandardade Krishna.
Savadur anavaptaya.
Savadur anavaptaya.
Savidur ambatapyatta.
Savidur ambatapyatta.
Evamukta kriyam aha.
Evamukta kriyam aha.
Skanda aruyatam iti. Tashchandardade Krishna.
Tashchandardade Krishna.
Savadur ambatapyate.
Savadur ambatapyate.
Evam ukta priyam Krishna. Evam ukta priyam maha.
Evam ukta priyam maha.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Tashchandardade Krishna.
Tashchandardade Krishna.
Savidur ambatapyata.
Savidur ambatapyata.
Evam uktam priyam aha.
Evam uktam priyam aha.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Tatashchandardate Krishna.
Tatashchandardate Krishna.
Savadur ambatapyata.
Savadur ambatapyata.
Ukta priyam maha.
Evam ukta priyam maha.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Skanda aruyatam iti.
Tatashchandardate Krishna.
Tatashchandardate Krishna. Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Uktaha.
Uktaha.
Addressed.
Addressed.
Priyam.
Priyam.
To his beloved.
To his beloved.
Aha.
Aha.
He said.
He said.
Skande.
Skande.
On my shoulder.
On my shoulder.
Aruyatam.
Aruyatam.
Please climb.
Please climb.
Iti.
Iti.
These words.
These words.
Tataha.
Tataha.
Then.
Cha,
cha, and Atardate,
Atardate,
he disappeared.
Krishna,
Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna.
Sa,
Sa,
she,
Vadahu,
Vadahu,
his consort.
Anvatapyata,
felt remorse. Translation. Thus addressed, Lord Krishna replied, "Just climb on my shoulders." But as soon as he said this, he disappeared. His beloved consort then immediately left and felt great remorse. In response, please. Thus addressed, Lord Krishna replied,
"Just climb on my shoulder."
But as soon as he said this, he disappeared. His beloved consort then immediately felt great remorse. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani was exhibiting the pride of a beautiful girl who has brought her boyfriend under control. Thus she told Krishna, "Please carry me wherever you want to go. I can't walk anymore." Sri Krishna now disappears from her sight, intensifying her ecstatic love more and more. Om Gantimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sarujatam Sarvetam Savadutam Pavijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamishya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bhakta Chakrate Govesha Govika Dhyanta Adhantam Namastute Tapta Kanchana Govami Vishamanamaste Devi Nanamani Haripiye Panchakalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Mayevacha Atitanam Paranevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shri Bhakti Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so this pastime started where Krishna wanted to fulfill the desires of the gopis. This is a significant thing that when we read these pastimes, we are conditioned materially, and it's difficult for us to understand the motivation behind them. So therefore people become confused. But Krishna blew his flute, not because he wanted to enjoy the gopis' association, but because they desired. And so they'd asked previously about this, and now we remember this is an opportune moment. Pick a perfect situation, not for himself but for their benefit. And so the gopis came, and then Krishna seemed like he was selfish. He said, "Can I do something for you? Why are you from?" And they were very upset, and they were and then he gave a whole load of philosophy which is true, but maybe not applicable in this situation. He said that it's not right for young girls to be out in the middle of the forest in the middle of the night. It's one thing, it's dangerous. The other thing, it's immoral. You should go back and stay with your husbands. And so the gopis were upset by this. And then they started to answer and said, reciprocate with us, or stubborn one. So this shows there's some intimacy there. I mean, to call the supreme personality very stubborn. But then they started to philosophically defeat Krishna. They said, why should we go back to our parents? We can't go back now. Why should we go back to our husbands? He said, anyway, you're the source of all these things. You're the life force behind them, and also the sentiment behind them. And if we reciprocate with you, then everybody's satisfied. And so Krishna had to task to Soviet. They defeated him with philosophy. But of course, we don't think that we can do what the gopis did. This is what the sahajas do, isn't it? They see that and then... So this is nicely explained, because when the sages heard this at Naimisharanya, they were thinking... they weren't all devotees. They were different grades of transcendentalists. Some were impersonalists. And therefore they couldn't understand, because all religious principles, the first thing is, what is it? Control the senses. First thing we learn in the nectar instruction, Goswami, you have to control the senses, so there's no possibility of making spiritual advancement. And so Maharaj Parisi could see that some of the sages, they were disturbed. What's going on? Young girls in the middle of the night, what are people going to think? It's going to disturb the religious process. And so he asked his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, about this. And he said, you're very, very inattentive. I've told you about this before. You asked this question previously. And so he went back to the seventh canto, the beginning of the seventh canto, first chapter, 30th verse, 31, 32, Kamadesha, etc. We can serve Krishna with any desire. And he gave the example of, well, he was talking about the conversation between Narad and Maharaj Yudhisthira, because Yudhisthira just witnessed when Shishupala was killed, that his soul, a big white light came out of his body, emerged into Krishna. And he said, what a rascal, how did that happen? How does he deserve this? And so Narada began to explain, and he started quoting from, he started speaking in the seventh canto about anybody can approach Krishna, whatever sentiment they have. If we have anger, like Shishupala, envy. If we have anger and we hate Krishna by cancer, the gopis by their lust, and the general devotees by their devotion, like this. And so it seems like it's a pretty easy process. Just become angry at Krishna. Just become lustful for Krishna. But then he says one important thing, he says, and provoke controlling the senses. So yes, we have these sentiments, but we have to control the senses. And then this lust, envy, greed, it'll all be dispersed in due course of time, and then it'll only be remaining as bhakti. Well, this Prakriti has sahajas. They take it on face value. It's the only thing they take on face value. They don't read that part of the Bhagavad Gita. They smile, they skip through that part. And they try to imitate Krishna's pastimes, thinking that this is practicing for going back to the spiritual world. So that's a bit of a understanding that actually, some of the gopis, they didn't reach Krishna. They remember that they were held back by their husbands. Some were milking cows, some were on the stove boiling milk, some were serving their husbands, some were decorating their bodies for their husbands, like this, and then they heard the flute, they immediately left. And but some, they couldn't get past their husbands. Why did the others get past their husbands? Were they more agile? Is that right? What do you think?
They've been in the gym a bit longer.
And a stronger desire.
Stronger desire. We said that. You said that.
I said that.
They have stronger desire. Yeah, because our desire is actually, we have a desire to serve Krishna, but it's, you know, we just say, well, I don't know about this. You know, sometimes in devotional service, this is a bit iffy, you know. Can I really do this for Krishna? And so the gopis have reached this point. They reached a point where they thought, wait a minute, this is a difficult situation. I'm leaving home. Leaving it, I can't go back. So some of them weren't quite so purified. The others were completely dependent on Krishna. And so that's the process of devotional service, into becoming completely dependent on Krishna. It's not possible straight away for most, probably most of the devotees, but it is possible by increments. And so it describes in that part of the Bhagavatam that there were different grades of gopis. Some were nitya siddhas, like the Deva Kanya and the Gopa Kanya. They were all coming from the spiritual world, so they had no problem. They were part of the pastime. But then there were the others, the Shruti Chari and the Rishi Chari gopis. The Rishi Charis were devoted to Lord Ramachandra and they desired conjugal love. But Lord Ramachandra said that I only have one wife in this pastime, so I'll arrange that when Lord Krishna appears later, then you can develop that relationship. And then there were the, I don't know whether the Rishi Charis and the Shruti Charis. I'm not sure, I might have read wrong, but anyway, the Shruti Charis is similar. That means that we advance to a stage where we can engage directly in Krishna's service. It's like the final purification. So when we become liberated, we simultaneously engage in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and Lord Krishna's pastimes. So they reach that point. But we can see there's still some contamination there. And so they, because they weren't quite ready, they were held back. And then at a future time, they would be, when due to being separated and missing that opportunity, they would lament. You know that feeling when you've missed them and you knew you should have done it. It's terrible, isn't it? It really goes to the heart. And so they were thinking like that. Well, that purifies a person. Gradually purifies that lamentation for doing the wrong thing. And eventually they were given the opportunity to associate with Krishna later. But yet some of the conditioned gopis, they did manage to go. Well, how is it? So they're on different levels. What was the key? Come on, you've got a word for that. Can't just relax.
Greed.
Greed. Yeah, greed to loyal one. But why have they got more loyal and more greed? Anyway, you may not know this, but it's a very important aspect of devotional service. They had association. They had the association of the nitya siddha gopis, and they trained them up and purified them, and the others didn't. So it's very important that we get association with it. Anyway, moving on.
So the next question is, why did Krishna
disappear from the gopis? First of all, in the previous chapter, he saw that the gopis became proud, right? And so he thought, I'll teach them a lesson to become proud. And he disappeared, and then they were lamenting. Is that right? Are you sure? Because Krishna's got no malice, why should he do that? If he does that to them, what will he do to us? It's a very tricky situation. We're not going to develop much faith in Krishna when we read that in the wrong way, are we? And forget it. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm not going to surrender. And so it's explained by the acharyas that same thing. Krishna understood the hearts of the gopis. They were feeling insufficient. in their ability to serve Krishna properly. And so they desired to increase their service. And so Krishna arranged a situation where they could, you know, increase their service. And so he said, what happens when you're actually really attached to somebody and then they go away unexpectedly? It's like devastating, isn't it? They were completely devastated. But what happens then? You long even more to have that association, don't you? You pine. And so this is what the gopis were doing. They were asking the animals, where have you seen Krishna? Sometimes they were performing pastimes. When they were fully conscious, they were asking, have you seen Krishna? Then when they were semi-conscious, they were lying in a dream world, performing the pastimes of being with him. And sometimes, he was completely unable to move. And so Krishna was priming them. And then later, he arranged that only Radharani stayed with him. Now, why did he do that? Krishna's not, there's always a reason that Krishna does things. He doesn't do things. There's nothing superfluous in Krishna's pastimes. Every breath he takes, every wink of his eye, every move with his body, everything has significance and it's helpful to us. And so the Acharyas are very merciful in revealing these things. Is that by the gopis, by taking Krishna away, it was Krishna's pastime potency, sorry, I'm going back a little bit. Krishna's pastime potency arranged that the gopis became proud. It generated within them a feeling of pride. They weren't actually proud. There's three kinds of pride which I can immediately think of. One is false prestige, isn't it? What's false prestige? It means you're falsely proud of something. That's the pride of the material world, isn't it? I'm a great orator. I'm a great singer. I'm a great president. I'm a great Trump. Yes, I'm a great Trump. I'm the best of the Trumps. There's no greater Trump than me. This is a material consciousness. No matter how low we are, still we can be great. But we are great, actually. We're great servants of the Supreme Personality of God. So this takes on to the next one. This is real pride. Prabhupada said, just to walk up like this, head up. You know, wow, look at that, he's really proud. Yes, he said, I am proud. I'm proud to be Krishna's servant. He wrote, the servant of the greatest master. He was proud of Krishna. You have that feeling, don't you? Proud of your football team. Little bit of that thing, but still because you're associated with it. But this is a spiritual sentiment. When we link it to that pride links to we're proud of Krishna, then that's actually purifying. Krishna can do the most wonderful things, so we can always feel pride. When they were having pastimes in the forest, the cowherd boys were doing cartwheels. Or they were trying, and then Balaram said, get out of the way. And he did a perfect cartwheel. They were going on in circles, they were doing this cartwheel. And then Krishna so he's Krishna started doing cartwheels. The same. He was playing his flute at the same time. So Krishna can do these things. Anyway, this is Krishna's opulence. But nobody can do what Krishna does. And so that's a different kind of pride. And this is another kind of pride, when pastime pride. You know, we shouldn't, when we hear about the spiritual world, we say, wait a minute, we should understand that pastime the Lord is arranging all these different emotions. Why so this variation? So that, you know, Krishna, we'll hear a little bit more about that variation. And so this next point is that So what's pride based on in the material world?
False ego.
We just mentioned, you know, proud of, pauper's proud of his pain. So there's a complete different thing. And so sometimes, you know, we have to be introspective and see if that pride starts from what are we actually proud of? What have we got to be proud of? Do we have anything to be proud of? Nothing. Everything's, every activity, everything, every opulence, everything we can do is a gift of Krishna, isn't it? Krishna can, you know, I was talking to one young girl yesterday. She was first time at the temple for months. She's been to Brazil. She was come regularly before, but she'd been in Brazil. She was walking on the pavement, and all of a sudden a lorry mounted the pavement and knocked her off. Can you imagine? I used to, you know, at first I thought she'd walked into the road and been hit by a lorry, but she was on the pavement. So, you know. And she, you know, obviously she's been hit and badly hurt, and so there's some disability there. So we don't know what's going to happen at the next moment. We can be laid flat, paralysed, and hardly blink his eyes. So what have we got to be proud of? Nothing. Anyway, coming back to the pastime, is that, and so, started to feel the same emotions, and so Krishna did the same with her, but for the same reason. There was the same reason, but a different reason as well. So he could see that the gopis had already seen that Radharani is and the best gopis. She's so loving emotions when they meet, are so ecstatic that it surprises everybody. Nobody's got that relationship with Krishna, and so he wanted to impress that upon the gopis. But here, he wanted, there's many things, that's why I wanted to find, so I wrote a few things down, there's one or two reasons.
And, see if I can remember this one.
That, he wanted to show the gopis that how ecstatic, our ecstatic feelings of separation, how they were actually much stronger than theirs. Now, they're separated, and they wanted to show the other gopis that this is actually my supreme devotee. Look how much she misses me. Just like Bhishma, Krishna said to glorify his devotees. Is there any other examples? If we're ever in doubt whether Krishna's taking us for granted or giving us a hard time, we should understand this. Like Bhishma Dev, he went through so much. Would anybody in here be able to go through what Bhishma Dev went through? You were a pure devotee and you were on the wrong side. Everybody were going, "Oh, you're a black snake, what are you doing on that side?" You know, probably got called so many names. I mean, I'm speculating a bit, but you can imagine, can't you? The devotees would be thinking, "What's he doing over there? He's supposed to be a devotee." Sometimes we see that in a movement, don't we? Why is he doing that? Should be careful. We don't know. Krishna may have. See the good. One devotee has left his body. Now he was stationed in Africa, and he was different from the devotees for a long time. And even the GBC were getting on his case, and everybody sort of nearly ostracised him from the movement. But when he came through, he was doing great preaching. He had to do it undercover, otherwise his life was at risk. And so we give benefit of the doubt. When in doubt, leave it out. And then there's so then Krishna.
See if I can find it. Now.
And so that was one reason. Then the other reason is that when they met again, if Radha had been left with Krishna, and then they both appeared and they performed the Ras dance, how would the gopis feel? They'd feel a little bit uncomfortable, aren't they? Would you feel uncomfortable? Think, am I a raspberry? I heard that word raspberry. They'd feel like raspberries, wouldn't they? But what happened is that Krishna wanted to make them feel comfortable, so he also disappeared from Radha for that reason as well. So so that they, you know, they were both meet up and think, what's going on? And they would feel equals then. They would simultaneously they would feel that Radha is actually superior, but equally treated. And then eventually Krishna appeared and everybody felt satisfied. That's another reason. So we can see how Krishna is very intelligent. If we think about these things, actually, even in material life, these things go off in a conditioned soul's mind, don't they? Not for the same reason, but that intrigue is there in relationships. And so this is coming from the spiritual world. I've lost my thread now. And the other reason was making Radha and the Gopis experience the extremes of meeting and separation. That's our process, isn't it? The embankment of separation. Have you heard that? When there's separation, then there's longing. When there's meeting, and this is called the Sringara Ras. This perfects the Sringara Ras. So Krishna wanted to make it so that when the actual Ras dance took place, everybody was feeling completely satisfied and ecstatic. And another reason, anybody think of another reason that Krishna left? Think about yourself in relationship that you might have had. Although they may be actually for the wrong reason, there's still the same principle is here. Everybody knows.
You sure that he's attached?
See, it's similar to that. See, Radha Rani, she's a what wing is she on? Left or right? Left wing. What does left wing usually mean? It means an orthodox. Right wing means conform. Yep, and this is, who's that? Chandravala, she's the right wing gopi. So they always please Krishna. And so when somebody's always pleasing, it gets a bit boring, doesn't it? Well, when somebody, you know, creates a little bit of a problem, then it's like a different ras. So Radharani is like that, and she usually what they call it. That's what it says. I thought I wrote it down. Anyway, she plays hard to get. She doesn't always agree with Krishna. Creates a bit of a problem, and now. She's saying, oh Krishna, please carry me into the forest. Take me anywhere you want. And so, you know, Krishna, in a relationship, for him to actually reciprocate straight away, it's like called rasa bas. You know, there should be some difference. It creates a little bit of, you know, eagerness. And so he played the opposite role. He went and did what Radha Rani should have done. Usually Krishna is like, you're on his plane after getting Krishna's submissive, like that. But it was the other way around. And he reciprocated according to the etiquette. So I don't know much about the rest of this, but the elevated. The Lord arranges all this to reveal the gopis' unparalleled devotion for him. A devotion whose intensity fully manifests in a moment of separation. So it's the Lord's arrangement. Nothing moves out the will of the Supreme Person. Okay, so we can stop there. Anybody got any comments or questions? Actually, this pastime is specifically showing that earlier on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this chapter, it explains how
feel that one's motivated by. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. Nice class. You're saying how the conditioned gopis were able to develop more desire and greed to associate with Krishna by associating with the liberated gopis. And I was wondering, obviously that could be very practical for myself as a sadhaka. I'm just wondering what is the main quality in which you can determine that someone's liberated? How can you see if someone's liberated?
Main quality to see someone's liberated. Well, that's describing the Bhagavad Gita. Does anybody know where to look in the Bhagavad Gita for that? It says, what are the symptoms of a transcendental person? Where's that? How does he?
Second chapter,
54 onwards. Talks about how does he see it? I'm not going to throw all those emotions, but you know, how does he see it? What does he speak? Well, he says, what does he speak? He only speaks about Krishna, and immediately Prabhupada answers. And what is his language? He said he's not blaming anybody. You know, when somebody treats him and speaks harshly to him, he immediately realizes that this is an instrument for my karma. You know, he's not affected by the person. He's seeing himself, otherwise he's identifying the body, and it becomes personal. He's saying, wait a minute, this is going on in the material world. I'm just getting my comeuppance or something I want. So he doesn't react harshly. That's another thing. So he speaks about Krishna, he doesn't react harshly. And then the next thing, how does he say it? It's like a toy choice. That, you know, when there's danger, and so when the sense gratification is able to withdraw from it, he's not affected. Somebody presents sense gratification and he's able to negotiate it, take his mind away from it. And how does he walk? And then from the rest of the chapter near to the end, it tells how he walks through the world, how we deal with the world. We deal in the same way in a Krishna conscious way. It's nearly the same as sitting. Sitting's passive and walking's dealing, isn't it? Which is more difficult. I don't know myself, actually, I'm just asking you from your experience.
Failures.
Yeah, I was thinking that from my experience, if you're in a situation and you're not really involved, you can be detached, can't you? Why are they arguing? You know, sense gratification, maybe they end up, you get on with your service or whatever you have to do. But when you actually have to manage, you know, you have to deal, it's very much more difficult to deal with. There's nothing so queer as folk. You know, so even devotees can sometimes, until they're completely purified, you know, it's sometimes very difficult. You know, the mind. And so when you're dealing with people, you have to be, you know, you're trying to get something done, aren't you? It's like when you're doing box. That's a good example, isn't it? You have to push. You have to put yourself out there, and you have to approach somebody, and then when it stops, you can't just like relax. You've got to like really make him interested in the book and then counter his arguments, then he's just looking like he's in a bite, he goes, nah, bother. And then you've got to be attacked, you know, you're not bothered, are you? It doesn't have any effect on you. You just think, well, I'll just carry on. No, I think, oh, I tried so hard there. Anyway, just, and then you have to, you know, pull yourself back and try and detach yourself. And so I think it's more difficult to deal with it. To deal, like, there's a verse in the sixth chapter, it says, One of these pebbles, stone, gold, all with an equal light. It's not attracted. But when he says one who deals with other people, honest well-wishers, he sees them the same as enemies. That's difficult, isn't it? So this is more elevated. Anyway, that's a speculation about this sitting and walking. I'll just put it down to you. I've got it from anywhere. It's just like I'm assimilating it with this sixth chapter. And another point, what was the original question exactly?
What's the main symptom of a liberated person?
Liberation. Then in the 14th chapter, there's another one. It said, one who doesn't try to enjoy. A liberated person won't try to enjoy this world. We can understand that. He doesn't try to enjoy this world. What's the other one? He doesn't try to. No, he doesn't try to get out of it. Wait a minute, that's what we're here for, isn't it? Is it?
No. Not
so what's that? What's it? What's that? Mistake. I knew it. No, he's saying that, you know, we have to remain neutral. We're in the material world. And, you know, although the tendency is that we don't want, it's one of the signs of ignorance that we try to get out of it. We try to free ourselves. But we're in this body, I'm sorry. You know, well, until you leave this body, you're going to have to put up with it, so we have to tolerate. The first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita was to tolerate. And in other words, remain Krishna conscious in our present situation. Eventually the body will be given up. We don't try to enjoy this world, we don't try to get out of it. Not in that consciousness. It's still it's like jnana. It's still desiring liberation. The devotee doesn't desire anything. Always good to desire liberation, it's an impetus. Ultimately, we want to give that desire up. And just then slowly be attached to the service of Krishna. But it may not be possible immediately. First, we have to gradually become attached to the service of Krishna. And then this impetus we're getting from wanting to become free will gradually diminish. You know, a sign of God, it might be if we go out and do some books, or we're in a difficult situation where we're getting some mental agitation or some bodily difficulty. And the natural tendency is that we don't want this, isn't it? It's very difficult not to try and. We should try to avoid it if it's practical possible, but many, many times, what do we have to do? We have to. Just get on with the service. We're looking for a perfect situation. When we become pure devotees, we'll always be completely blissful. There'll be no problems to surmount. Everybody will reciprocate with me very nicely. And I'll always feel bodily comfort. It's not like that, is it? Is it? Why not? When we're pure devotees, we've got no sins, so why should we suffer? Oh, we're prarabdha karma, aren't we? Prarabdha means we're suffering from the body we've got. We can't change it immediately. We've got the mindset. And so we have to learn to use that in Krishna's service. You see some devotees are like, they're like Kshatriya nation, aren't they? Some devotees are more peaceful. Some devotees are more head back, you know what I mean? So we have to, the artist, to engage them all in Krishna's service. Do you have a question as well? Somebody else?
Thank you, Mark. I would just like to ask a question with regards to pride. You gave the example of Prabhupada and how he was proud of being a servant of Krishna, which is, I guess, spiritual pride. I just wanted to ask, is it okay for us also to be proud of Prabhupada, of our guru? Is that also okay? Is that a form of spiritual pride, or is that also okay?
No, that's okay. But it's got to be in proper mentality. Like, we're proud of our guru, and we don't really think much about other gurus. It means we misunderstood the whole point. So that's not good pride. We should be thinking, yes, I've got the best guru for me. He's suitable for me. He knows how to deal with me. Probably we should maybe think that the other gurus, they can't think that we are doing it. You know, I'm not advanced enough to take shelter of other gurus. This guru is very, helps me. He knows how to deal with me. And then we don't become proud. And so in that way we can see that my guru is the best for me. Because everybody's got a different nature. And so we have to, you know, that's part of it. Why do we know who's a guru? By hearing is the most important process. By hearing from a person, we can see if he's fixed in knowledge. We can see his attitude and everything. And so when we hear it, it inspires us. And it's from Shastra, you know, in the same line as Prabhupada's move, then we know we're on the safe side, and it's inspiring us, that's a good sign. We can hear from some people, and it's very, you know, we don't feel inspired, we've got the same problems, but we don't want to really deal with them. We don't feel inspired to get rid of whatever may be challenging to us.
Mm.
We don't leave it, you know, wait a minute, we'll go around it. But when we hear from some people, they think, yeah, I really need to do this. Like that, and it helps us to go forward. And so we shouldn't be thinking like that. That this is the Krishna sent this person to help me. He sent another guru for another person to help him because he's a different. He's coming from a different situation, different type of conditioning, and there's a guru who's just right for that type of person. So we're the personalists. The philosophy is the same, but the. But the way we actually implement it is maybe change the details, the principles are the same, but the details may be different. Yeah?
It's a question about is Bhakti's mission a principle or a detail?
Books are the basis, preaching is the essence. Utility is the principle, and what's the purity is the force. The principle is to spread Krishna consciousness, and the detail of how to do it is the books, but it's done through other things as well, isn't it? When you say that principle is to spread Krishna, become Krishna conscious, and spread Krishna consciousness. And the principles of how to do that is to follow four regular principles and chant Hare Krishna. It is a kind of principle in that the acharyas have said that we should do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we can treat it nearly like a principle almost, I should imagine. But it's not, in and of itself, it's preaching. We're preaching through the mouth, we're preaching through our actions. The principle is to attach people to Krishna, attract people to Krishna. And that's one of the ways of doing it, which is actually particularly helpful in this age. So it may be said that it's a principle for preaching in this age. But anyway, it's like in between one, isn't it? I don't know. But purity is a force. Is that a principle? Because we can force things without being pure. But in order for that actually people become Krishna conscious, then we have to be pure, otherwise we force things, but they're not really making any advance. So purity is a force, isn't it? Anyway, I'm not going to hold you this, but anything else? Okay. Then to our Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. To the Prabhupada Ki Jai.
From the side of the Maharaj Ki.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for giving class. Dhanan Maharaj will also give lunch talk today at 1 p.m. So if anyone wants to attend, then that's that's 1 p.m. here. After that, he will give questions and answers up in the seminar room just after the lunch talk. And also, if any devotees want to speak with him, then he's also able to do that if you just ask him in Raja time. So, apart from that, we'll just hear some scores. Did anyone see the shopping restaurant score? Anyway, yesterday on book distribution, Baxter Alexi collected 24 Lakshmi points, distributed 6 small books, 6 small books, and 3 Maha big books for 7.5 book points. Doria Gaurangi Mataji collected 59 Lakshmi points, distributed 4 small books, 11 Maha big books for 23 book points. Altogether, that's 83 Lakshmi points, 10 small books, 14 Maha big books for 30.5 book points. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Key.
Yeah.
So we'll just say our prayer. Please repeat after me. Dear Sri Sri Radha Rundanishwara, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, Sri Sri Gauranitai, and Giri Govindam, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavouring to distribute the books of your pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, to the fallen conditioned souls of London. If you so desire, please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Key. So we just need service on the ladies' side and on the men's side. Thank you very much. And devotees to volunteer to help clean the temple after prasadam. Great, thank you. Okay, so now everyone can help in the prasadam chain. Hare Krishna.